response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, we're Area 45. Coming up in an hour, we'll visit with Houston Roughnecks head coach C.J. Johnson. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to weigh in, be a part of the show. Start a conversation. It's all good. Who is it? Larry, who we know now is from the Woodlands, because he texts in, wants to get to the bottom of the officiating situation that he called in about, wondering why players and coaches in their respective leagues are fined and all that stuff. He just sent us like a four-page text on the text line, which you can do as well, 713-572-4610. He says, from Larry in the Woodlands, continuing criticizing officiating. I've officiated soccer since 2010 at multiple levels. When I turned 50, I only made high school. Oh, boy, it jumbled it up. Where are you? I only made high school. God, Scott Foster had it out for Houston. He says, flop rule, a.k.a. the Carl Malone, Vlade Divac, Manu Ginobili rule. I don't know where
this went. Oh, dude, Vlade was a flopper.
Maybe y'all could explain the proper way to complain about officiating in sports leagues then. That's what he says. Sorry, when you send multiple texts of...
Sometimes it gets jumbled up and it's not in order.
All the time it gets jumbled up and it's not in order. I asked AI, what is the proper way players and coaches should complain about officiating? And this is what AI says. Be polite and non-threatening. These measures should help preserve a positive coach and referee relationship. After the game, if you think the referee was biased, not correct on rules, or in over his head or her head,
kick his ass.
Call your club referee coordinator and explain your concerns.
Yeah, the proper way, and you guys might remember this because Daryl Morey used to do this all the time and got criticized.
Send the tape in.
Your GM sends a tape to the league office along with a memo of this play, here's what it was ruled, this is what's wrong, this is why it's wrong. And you know, freaking Morey would have like 14 things on a page mm-hmm. of all the things that were wrong. But that's the proper way to do it, is you send your tape to the league with a memo explaining what the call was and why the call was wrong.
Yeah. But instead, players and coaches, even after about a 30-minute cool-down period where they do have to stand in front of a camera or have a microphone in their face, they choose violence a lot of the time.
This guy sucks.
And we enjoy it. We enjoy it. And they're rich. They can afford to pay the fines. So I'm not at all worried about the fines that they do incur and the money that they have to pay. Because it's monopoly money to them.
They're not
having food taken off of their table because they opened their big fat mouth and maybe even said what was true and pay a $10,000 to $20,000 fine.
Generally speaking, these fines go to charity.
Yeah.
So
maybe it should go to like more referee training or something like that at the end of the day as well. At least a small portion of it.
While the players are having money taken out of their pockets, it's not going to the league. It's going to some rando charity.
Yeah. But I like, he says, sorry to get off topic. We didn't even really have a topic going at that point in time.
We're talking about the Astros.
I like getting off a topic sometimes. And
if you've ever listened to this show, you might know sometimes.
Well, you do too. You love it.
Sometimes we get off topic. Sometimes the rabbit hole is short, and sometimes the rabbit hole is very, very deep.
I like this random text that we got like 20 minutes into our show tonight. It says, I view Seth as the king of the antagonizers. Why is this person from the 713 just randomly firing shots at Seth Payne? But I'll continue to read because I'm intrigued by this. Now I want to go back and listen to what Seth had to say. I view Seth as the king of the antagonizers. However, his complaining, a neighbor building a fence on your property line to C.J. Stroud missing the first day of OTAs was a new high, even for him, and he even managed to weave them together. Or almost, continuation, catching up.
Is this one of those Seth rants that goes, like, bends around the river a few times?
Are you talking about what the texter had to say or what Seth had to say?
Well, just the way he said that Seth was comparing your neighbor building a fence to CJ not being at the first day of OTS. I'm like, is this one of those Seth rants that bends around the river a few times?
I mean, apparently, this guy's text did not finish. it's like 90% there, I feel like, on your phone.
And then the last one didn't go through.
It didn't go through. Yeah, but that's interesting. CJ Stroud. Now, CJ Stroud did not show up to OTAs. I saw a picture of him there.
He just didn't practice.
With his arms crossed next to his new offensive coordinator. Yeah, you're right. He just did not practice. And there was like a laundry list of players, very important ones, that also did not practice yesterday.
He's telling those bums how to block before he gets behind them.
Yeah, he's like, now hold on. I got to see this first. All right. Like, Cole, you and I are good. We got a good relationship. Nick, we're still learning, feeling each other out. But I mean, I'm a very trusting individual, but I got to see this first. The first iteration of the Texans offensive line yesterday, I think, was Cam Robinson at left tackle, Laken Tomlinson at left guard, that guy from New England. They just got Jake something or other, Jake Andrews. And then they had Titus Howard at right guard and Blake Fisher at right tackle yesterday. That was the first offensive line group. And then the second one was, they got a whole bunch of dudes in there. It was like a Jalen Thomas. It was an Ariante Ursary. Anybody that I forgot to mention, they just threw in there. They probably went through like 15 different iterations of the offensive line yesterday.
You know, because Titus plays right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the right side of the line is where he's more comfortable at.
Mm.
And he's been playing left side because they had a need.
So it took like 6 years for them to figure out like, hey, you're used to putting your left hand in the ground. Why don't we keep it that way? Stay on that same side of the line as opposed to moving to the opposite side. Now you have to put your right hand in the ground. 6 years has it been? 5 years? Because they tried the whole left guard thing with Titus before, and then that's been like their go-to. If anybody gets hurt or if anybody sucks that replaces the person that got hurt, Titus is the answer.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I can't explain that other than they did not have enough personnel to have a backup left guard.
Not that problem this year.
Their options last year were dog and poo.
Yeah.
The dog left the yard. And this year they have more options, but maybe they just see Titus more as a guard than a tackle. Maybe they want to develop their younger tackles because Titus's days on this team are numbered, especially with the salary that he is currently commanding. So if he plays guard, if you're okay, well, you know, he's going to be our best solution at guard, but we're going to put him on the side he's most comfortable at. I don't care. Just don't get CJ killed.
You said his days on this roster are numbered. His contract is good through the 26th season.
Which we know doesn't mean anything.
So what are you alluding to? When you say his days are numbered, do you think that he could be moved if, in fact, the Texans like a right tackle and like a right guard and maybe even like another left guard this training camp that is not him?
They took a tackle high in the draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
They took a tackle high in the draft last year.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take those guys to sit them.
Right. And then you signed tackles in free agency.
Yes, but you didn't give them like long-term deals.
Not long-term deals, but you gave one, Cam Robinson, $12 million. Could make up to $14. Trent Brown could be a guy. Ariante Ursary, who you just alluded to, could be a guy. Blake Fisher could be a guy. And these are just at the tackle positions, and never mind like the guys that they brought in at guard. I would be shocked if he was traded, you know.
I could see him traded. I could see him just, you know.
Here's the reason why. Best five.
Sent packet.
They've been saying this for more than a year now. We want the best five guys out there. So it's like us having this conversation about like, well, who's going to be where on the offensive line? Like, we have no clue. Look at the first iteration of the offensive line they ran out there yesterday. Titus was at right guard, you know, and it was not Jarrett Patterson in the first offensive line group at center. It was not Drew Scruggs in the first offensive line group at center. It was Jake Andrews. Now, maybe not surprising, he's a New England guy, but that at least has to tell you a little something, a fraction of something, if nothing else, of what the Texans' starting point is and what they're going to be throwing up against the wall to see what sticks this offseason.
Next year looks like it's the last year of, like, guaranteed money on his deal. And this year he's $11.5 million against the cap. Next year he's almost $28 million against the cap.
What? Next year, 28 yeah. against the cap?
Next year's 28 million against the cap.
Yeah, wow.
I could see them looking to find a taker for him.
Yeah, rework that deal, big dog. Let's move some of that guaranteed money from next year. Next year would be the final year of his contract.
Yeah, and he'll be 30 years old next year.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, granted, linemen can play a lot longer. Yeah, but yeah, still, yeah. For that kind of money, after you just drafted all these young guys, you've got...
Well, you just saw them go cheaper with moving Laremy Tunsil.
I mean, you spent a high draft pick on Kenyon Green and you've walked from it because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You spent a high draft pick on Juice Scruggs. You spent a high draft pick on Blake Fisher. You spent a high draft pick on Tay Ursary. Like you don't spend high draft pick on guys and then like, oh, we're not going to give them every freaking chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that, look, they spent a high draft pick on Titus back in the day. But now those dollars are getting high. Well, you still have to pay CJ. You still got to pay Will Anderson. You still got to pay, you're going to pay Sting. So eventually you're going to be paying Lassiter.
Yeah. But Titus is one of those guys that is going into this season. Like, if he's really good, wherever they stick him, if it's at right tackle, right guard, or left guard, wherever, if he's really good and the Texans' offensive line is really good, CJ's really good, Texans are really good, everything's really good, I mean, he could be playing for a new contract. Something the Texans are going to have to consider because you're not going to continue to just bring new guys in. That's not how really good offensive lines and offenses work.
But that's kind of the NFL way now. Unless you have a guy who's a perennial All-Pro, you're turning them over. You're gonna keep drafting another offensive lineman earlier in the draft. You're going to do every year. You're going to take another guy. You know, maybe he'll be an interior guy in the second or third round. Maybe he'll be a tackle. You've got two tackles now that you've gotten high in the draft. Do you take another guard, say in the second or third round? Do you take a center in the second or third round? Like, they're going to keep using those day two picks to find themselves another offensive lineman every year because you can't pay everybody.
No,
and the more the cap goes up, you'd think, oh, well, there's more room to pay everybody. No, the more the cap goes up, the more your quarterback gets.
Yeah.
The more your wide receiver one gets. The more your defensive end one, cornerback one. The stud positions just keep getting the same percentage. The dollars just go up.
Yeah, I'd just like to see the Texans pay one of the guys that they took on day two, preferably in the second round, that's an offensive lineman, because that means they're good. You know, that's what I'd like to see.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.